Hi, welcome to our second episode of our Advent podcast. Here at Greystone, we are celebrating the season and considering how it is that we can grow into hope, peace, joy, and love. We're in the second week of Advent, and we're talking with Joanne Thompson today about growing in peace. So thanks for joining us today, Joanne. We're glad you're here.
Glad to be here, Amanda.
The scripture for this week is from Isaiah. It's a beautiful story of how wolves and lambs and leopards and goats and calves will all lie down together and that there will be peace on God's holy mountain. Isaiah tells us that they will not hurt or destroy because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And so as we enter into this season and think about how it is that we come to peace and grow into peace, our link has to be the knowledge of the Lord. So Joanne, as you are thinking and journeying through this time together into this season, how is it that you're growing in peace?
Amanda, I've been on a journey for the past few years, being involved with the international refugee community who live in Raleigh at Cedar Point. As I've progressed on this path, I entered it with trepidation and some anxiety about things. And the more I meet people, observe the folks who have come from war-torn countries, it's growing me in peace. I'm learning ways to feel peaceful myself. To elaborate a little bit, I can say that I have asked some of our newly arrived immigrants, our friends from other countries, what gives them peace. And by the way, just as an aside, these folks would prefer not to be called refugees because they find that it stereotypes them and it kind of embarrasses them. They miss their home country desperately.
I think also we at some point need to see them as neighbors.
Right.
As people who are a part of our country. And that sorrow that they cannot go home, that's why they're here, means that home has to be here. And so if we see them as part of our community, then that helps us create home here with them.
And a greater sense of peace, I think,
right,
for them. So, what you know, there, I guess I can look at it two ways. There's a way to ask and see what the refugees, and I'm using that category just to, so we can all be coming from the same point, what they perceive and what I observe.
Right.
And when I've asked them, you know, what is it that gives you a sense of peace here in America? And the first thing everyone mentions is safety.
Right, because all of them are running. At some point in time, they took off and fled. And after years and years and years, they finally landed here in Raleigh, right?
Well, that's true. But most of them have fled a war-torn country to begin with and then end up in a camp. And many, many, many of them have lived there for 15 to 20 years. And the camps are not safe. There's some desperate situations that happen in the camps. I can give you a couple of examples. One family's mom was poisoned. There was another family who went into town. They left their home. And when they got back, they found that their home had been burned to the ground by a group of men who had sexually assaulted the mom in that family. And another example was a 17-year-old boy arrived here totally mute, unable to speak. And it was a PTSD type of muteness because when he was 4 years old, he was thrown into a pit by a family seeking retribution for some thing they perceived that this child's father did. It was 3 days before this child was found. And since that time, he hadn't spoken a word. He'd since getting therapy here in the U.S. So this is an example how when they come to the U.S., they feel an overwhelming sense of safety after they're here for a little while.
I think it's hard for them sometimes to adjust to rules and police officers that are fair and honest and not taking bribes and understanding that there's rules for a lot of different things. But once they assimilate, they do start to thrive and to grow, I think, in their newfound country.
That's true. Rule of law is very important to these folks when their countries of origin are so corrupt that justice can be bought at any time. So to know that the government is providing fair and equitable rules for everyone gives them another sense of safety here. I would say the second thing that was mentioned when I asked folks, you know, when you first arrived here, weren't you terrified and overwhelmed? The answer was usually no, because I pray. The refugees that I asked were all Christians, but they all mentioned that prayer is what led them to be able to feel able to go on every day, even if they didn't have a job, if they had some illnesses, which leads into the sense that there would be somebody there who could help them.
I think oftentimes in our culture, we have this passion for independence and self-care, self-achievement, all of these things.
Autonomy.
That we value so much in our country that living in this country, it's hard for us to understand the power of relying on someone else, but more importantly, relying on God. Mm-hmm. So how do you see that playing out through the aspect of prayer in different friends from around the world that you meet?
I see their prayer being a true focal point for folks, where they have that trust in God, that they will pray, and that God may not answer their prayer with a yes. It may be a no. But there is that sense of hope that in the future that there could be a yes. And that yes may come in the form of someone in their community. One of the things that I observe from our international friends is it really takes a village for all these folks working together to raise their kids, to help each other understand how to navigate American Western culture. And they feel grateful and humble enough that they are not afraid to ask for help. And that, to me, that sense of community that they feel is something that gives them peace and helps buoy them.
And it's also the peace that I think is lacking in our own culture, right? I think about some of the work that Brené Brown has done and talking about the growing isolation of our culture and how we are lonely and we long for community. But perhaps the idea that we would have to actually rely on each other is what keeps us from being a part of community.
Another thing I observe in a peaceful nature, and I know, Amanda, you've mentioned to me, too, about being comfortable in darkness. Sometimes when I enter a family's home, it's really dark in there. They're not only trying to save on utility bills, but these folks seem to feel comfortable. They don't have to have light blasting into their homes all the time. If I do have to fill out a form or something, I have to go in the kitchen and turn on the overhead because then otherwise I can't see. But I think you mentioned something about living comfortably in darkness.
Right. So when I was in Africa recently, one of the pieces that I noticed was that in Uganda especially, there's 12 hours of light, there's 12 hours of darkness. And it's that way all year long, every year, forever and ever. Amen. And so there is a significant portion of time that is just going to happen in the dark. I had meals outside in the dark. Most of the houses that I was in and houses that I saw, they're only used for sleeping. Your work, your socialization, your eating, your cleaning, all of that happens outside the house. So everything that you're doing, a significant portion of it is going to be in the dark. And I can remember there's a scene where we're going along through town and everybody's out on the streets and that kind of thing. But all of my friends who are from America, we have headlamps and we have flashlights and we're looking at the road and we're wondering how we're going to navigate, you know, potholes and animals and all those kind of things. But nobody else is doing that. Now, some of that is because the landscape is familiar. Mm-hmm. But what also pops up in the middle of that landscape are elephants or different kinds of animals or friends. There are things that pop up that you don't expect. But there is a sense that if you will turn out the electric lights, then you realize there is enough light. There's enough light by the stars and there's enough light by the moon. And that there is enough light in the darkness that you can see your way through. And I think as we think about the season and about how Jesus comes to us in the night, in the darkness, and light shines forth in the darkness, we realize that as a people of faith, we have to trust the light, even in the darkness, and stop maybe trying to create our own light.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes creating our own light, creating our own means of shining out into this world, it creates more disorientation than orientation. If you're guiding yourself by the stars and by the moon and by the ambient light that is of nature, then you can see your way forward, even though it's very dim. It slows you down, but you still move forward. That's kind of what I felt. And I think I've experienced that too, that when I go to teach ESL, I can remember one day we were going to talk about lamp, teaching the word lamp. And
that's a four-letter word.
It's a basic word. And remember that every one of our friends has to learn the entire language. So if we don't, teach them, then they don't know it. So we were going to teach lamp. And we go to the apartment, and we're sitting there, and we realize there are no lamps.
Right.
No lamps.
That's true.
Whatsoever. And
did you rely on a picture?
We had to have a picture. Yeah. And I thought about how many lamps I turn on every single night.
Mm-hmm.
And I did count, and there's like 12.
Wow.
And it's just a completely different way of seeing the world. I think the piece for me that just resonates is, are we trying to follow a light that we create ourselves that's artificial? Or are we leaning into the darkness, trusting a community to support us, trusting in God, and following light that exists even in the darkness?
I think that letting the light that we have in front of us lead us is kind of a good segue into what I can say is being comfortable with where you are. I think a lot of our international friends are much more comfortable in the moment than we are, instead of always
Absolutely.
Anticipating what comes next. And I can just give an example of, I take a lot of folks on their medical appointments, and particularly down to the county. And if anybody's ever been to the county, you know, you sit and you wait. Even though you have a 9 o'clock appointment, 10 o'clock comes and rolls around, 10:30 rolls around.
And you're still waiting.
And we're still waiting. And I'm getting very agitated, irate. I walk up to the counter. I say, did you forget us? My international friends are sitting there calmly, a lot of times not even reading anything, not looking at their phone, just being. And I'm so admiring of that sense of peace, of being able to be in this moment and not be so concerned about you not being paid attention to or that something's wrong with what's happened, what's going on. And I admire that. And watching that peacefulness helps me to be more peaceful. I've gained an awful lot more patience than I had now than when I had when I began all this process. And also, as I said earlier, and we talked about a little bit, when the answer is no to a prayer, or even when folks have asked me if I could do something for them and I have said no, there's no pushback. There's no trying to wheedle their way. Even the kids are, you know, they accept no much easier than I would accept no. I'd be constantly trying to push my own agenda somehow. But most of these folks seem comfortable in hearing the answer.
Right. I think what you've said just reminds me that oftentimes I'm trusting more in my to-do list and my ability to get through my to-do list, especially mm-hmm. for the day, as opposed to trusting in the moment.
Yeah.
And paying attention that in this moment, I will find the grace that I need. I'll find the peace that I need. I'll find the wisdom that I need.
And if I don't check off everything on my list, you know, there's tomorrow.
And if I don't check off everything in my list, I am still a good person who is valued.
Still me. Yeah.
It's changing that idea that I am successful and worthy because of what I can accomplish to I'm worthy because I am.
Because God has created us and who we are.
Right.
I just, if you don't mind me sharing just some of the things I've learned from my experiences with the international community is I've learned from their example, which I just said, that God will provide, but maybe not in my timetable. I recall the scripture of Psalm 103, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. His mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. I learned that I need to rely more on prayer than I do. And I've really learned that I don't need to fill spaces with conversation. I can be comfortable in silence.
Wow. Well, those are good thoughts to help us as we continue to consider peace not only as just a feeling that surrounds us, but as a discipline that we are engaging in and growing in and developing in as we wait for the coming of the Christ child. You've brought up prayer a lot. Let's end with prayer. Holy and merciful God, call us into your peace. Bring us into your wisdom. Show forth your light, even in this season. Amen.
Amen.